bonus episode of What's Up With You? I'm Muriel. And I'm joined here by Nicholas.
Hello, we are the hosts of this podcast. Look, our show is called Hell in Your 30s. If this is the first time you've ever tuned in, we welcome you with open arms. Make sure to check out our regular episodes. Those come out every Monday.
Right, but today's not Monday, it's Friday. Mm-hmm. And guess what you're going to witness? You're going to witness us trying to make new friends.
That's right. Yeah. Which God knows has been hard to do in the quarantine. So we had to invent a podcast reason to do it. And, you know, it's just us just hanging out, meeting new people. Hell, we'll give you a little taste of that right now. Muriel, what's up with you?
What's up with me? Yeah. Well, I'm very much valuing the view from my window. And I don't think I have before. And I just am feeling like I'm like a cat.
Yeah.
Who's like really discovered like birds in the trees. And it's like giving me a new lease on life.
Yeah.
Nick, what's up with you, man?
Well, I reached the bottom of my very expensive jar of delicious spicy pickles.
Oh, no.
But that's okay, though, because at the bottom of that was all like the peppers and the onions and all the stuff that made the pickles spicy.
Yes.
So I just ate all those. So I'm loving life. You know what I mean? I'm just on top of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Speaking on top of it, we got to get this show started.
Okay.
Today, we are so excited to bring Anna and Shireen to the podcast.
Yes.
They are the co-hosts of Ethically Ambiguous. That's an iHeartRadio podcast network show.
Yes.
Anna also co-hosts Deckheads, which is a podcast all about the reality show Below Deck on Bravo. Another iHeartRadio smash hit. Make sure you check them out wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Muriel.
What?
Let's just give a little Shireen and Anna right here, right now.
Yeah.
Where'd you go with Anna? What is that? What's the theme there?
Like photos my boyfriend took on his GoPro.
Oh, I thought it was what? A shipwreck. I was like, what is this Zoom?
I don't
apocalyptic...
know.
Apocalyptic. Oh,
it's
I see what it
outside
is.
Outside of a hotel we were at one time in Laguna Beach. All the photos, like the wave one he took as well. He just like hangs out in the water with his GoPro all day.
Yeah, but I initially thought it was like something that Zoom already had. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this shipwreck? Because I couldn't see what it was for a minute.
How long ago were you in Laguna Beach? Like, do you remember what year roughly?
Well, I mean, we used to go a lot because he's from that area.
Yeah,
we would go. We were trying to stay at like every hotel on the PCH.
But
oh man, I don't even know. We haven't been for a while.
Yeah, we went for the first time like 2 years ago or something.
Yeah,
like
something like that.
Really, we found like you know the Hotels Tonight app. You can get like really cheap like luxury hotels, and we found this spot, and it was so fun.
Yeah, we went crazy.
I've never been. It's fine.
We just had a blast. I don't know, we just like bar hopped, and it was I don't know. I guess the good old days of when Laguna
Beach,
like, trashiness of Laguna Beach was I don't know acceptable or something, and you could be around it, you know, and get in everyone's face, and we got in people's face. It was a
that was really fun.
That was so fun.
You remember the hotel name?
No, but the problem with that hotel website is they say like, oh, we'll give you this great deal on the room, and then they just give you the worst room in the whole place, which we didn't care about because we didn't spend too much time in there. But
it was like one of the only ones that has private beach access, I think. Like there aren't a lot of them that have that, and they say that it's like they like have a somebody come down and like set up a cabana for you. But the tide like wipes you out immediately. Yeah. It was like the most tragic. Like we set up all our stuff and I was like writing and working on this thing and we got wiped out by a wave within like 20 minutes and all our shit got taken out to sea.
That's tragic.
Yeah, it looked like the real shipwrecked version of Anna's
background.
Yeah,
Anna's background. I have to make a disclaimer that I say every name wrong, including my own, including my co-host and friend who I've known for the better half of a decade.
Yeah.
Better part of a decade. So never trust my pronunciations with anything.
That's okay. We'll go with Nick, Muriel, Shireen, and Anna. Did we nail it?
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, good. See, we're friends. I know. This is like, you know.
You said my name better than I did. I always say it wrong.
We had to jam job podcasting into our lives to meet new people. We had to figure out a way to talk to anyone besides ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's when I podcast with Anna, it's like maybe the one time I interact with another human. So I get it. It's podcasting is flourishing right now. If you want to be honest, it's like, this is the time to be a podcaster.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, for sure. Look at us. We're making friends and, you know, communicating across the lands. Yeah. So what's been taking up your guys' headspace lately?
What if my Switch just came in the mail. I was able to get a Switch after a long hunt.
Oh, that's nice.
Google alert set. Can't see.
Switches are one of my favorite consoles. I binged Zelda on the Switch last year because I played it pretty late. The new Zelda game, the Breath of the Wild, best game. Well, not the best. My favorite's Ocarina, but. But having the Switch now is like a gift. I'm so excited for you to go on this journey.
I'm very excited to play Animal Crossing. It's right up my alley. It's a simple game for a simple woman like myself.
I don't know anything. Okay, so is Animal Crossing like Sims? Is that very similar? Like you build a world? And yeah.
That's like similar. I think it's similar because it is world building, but it's a little bit, I feel like it's like the cuter, less weird version of Sims. Because uh-huh. Sims is just like kind of bizarre and you can like have someone get run over by a car or even make out or like be naked. And it's like Animal Crossing is just cute and there's like fruit and stuff.
Yeah. Right. Got it. So it's like stuffed animal. Right. It's like a Sim sounds more like Grand Theft Auto or something compared to like the stuffed animal world of Animal Crossing. Yeah.
But I will say, I've never played Animal Crossing. I've just like seen it a lot. And it's not like my type of game. I like more like, I don't know, RPGs, Zelda, kind of like even like fighting games I like. But world building is a little bit overwhelming for me. Like I get it's too much. But yeah. But it makes so much sense thinking of Anna doing that because Anna is like, I think that you can get really, I'm excited to see the house that Anna makes.
Yeah, that's actually one of the biggest things I used to do when I would play Sims is I would build the homes and that's it. I would build, decorate the homes and like put them for sale and then move on to the next. I was like a developer on Sims.
That does seem really relaxing.
Yeah. If it works for you, do it. If that's like, we need methods to relax right now, right?
So yeah.
That sounds fun too, because that probably will be the closest I would ever get to actually building a home. You know,
well, that's what makes me sad. I feel like I just get depressed about this never being reality.
Yeah,
and then I spiral out and have another episode that's totally unrelated to the game.
Right. When I was in high school, my godbrother and I would get stoned and he got really into looking at like the magazines with all the fancy houses in it. And we would sit there and just like draw what our dream houses would look like. And we would talk about it all the time. And I think at the time we just thought like, oh, that'll happen eventually, you know, and that just is clearly never going to happen.
Yeah.
What kind of homes do you build in Animal Crossing?
I'm not sure yet because I haven't had a chance to dive. Like it just came when we started the podcast. My boyfriend showed me the box. And I
Well, I think with Animal Crossing, you can have an island and you can build like, you can have like a garden. You can have all these different, I don't know. I'm excited to see what Anna comes up with. I say both. I'm sorry. I don't think she minds unless she does. And she has a secret hatred for every time I call her Anna. But
I have no thoughts on the matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Cause I find that like, I don't know, my cousin who's an Anna doesn't care if it gets switched around. And then my friend who's in like my friends who are Anna's care immensely. So.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think I say my name differently when I introduce myself because I feel like both me and Anna have like Americanized our names just to make it easier to say. So like my name is, when I introduce myself now, I say Shireen, but that's not my name. My name is Shireen. Like there's like an E in it and like a certain kind of flair to it. And I think like in the past when Anna would say, hey, this is Anna, ethically ambiguous, that's kind of what I kept saying in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can, I don't know. But I'm retraining it and like realizing the value of saying our names right and like holding on to how our parents named us.
Yeah.
whatever. I don't know.
I had really bad allergies as a kid for like years and years. And I would always say my name with a B, like beer, which was like the biggest deterrent in me saying my name to people and like correcting them. Cause I would just be like, you know, I don't know. It's so funny. It's like when you have a name that people constantly mispronounce, you either kind of, I feel like now that I'm older, I'm like, it's Muriel, like Uriel. And it's okay if you can't say it because some people can't. There's a weird diphthongy thing. But when I was younger, I would just be like, oh, anything is fine. You can call me M or like Mary, Muriel.
All right. Well, where's your headspace been at lately, Shereen?
My headspace.
Yeah. Like what's up? Like what's going on with you? Where are you at these days?
You know, some days are worse than others. And some days are better than others. I don't know. It's a hit or a miss. I try to take it day by day. It feels like sometimes I have manic days where I use that literally because I do. It's like something that happens to me, but, I don't know. It's also like, I don't trust how the day goes in the morning. Cause like anything could happen. Like, like when we heard that Trump got COVID, for example, I was getting ready to go to sleep. And then I was like I've ever been in years. You know what I mean? So my headspace is kind of all over the place. And I think I'm trying to be okay with that. And just trying to be nice to myself. I think that's the takeaway of my existence. It's just like trying to be nice to myself. And especially during this time, I'm very hard on myself for not being productive or like not doing what I wanted to do with all this free time that now I have no excuse to not write, to not do this or whatever. But my headspace is just trying to do things that make me feel good, being nice to myself. And also if that means like buying some like fancy food that I would never buy, I'll buy it, you know? So like treating myself in ways like truly, I guess, like dating myself. I'm dating me and I'm treating me to all the things that I would a partner, because I am my own partner at the end of the day.
Oh, I love that.
That's wonderful.
Hey, have you gotten any good fancy food lately?
Well, my version of fancy is kind of like annoyingly healthy or like health conscious.
Sure.
Like I don't eat meat or cheese. Like I'm plant-based or whatever. So like, the other day I bought like a fancy like raw vegan tart or something. Like something so bougie and so LA that I would never buy otherwise, but because I'm treating myself, I'll buy it. Or like a fancy ice cream or like something that's like so health nutty that it's insufferable. But I can't deny that I like those things, and I do.
Of course, they're great. I love them. I've been getting like whatever kind of fancy, like $5 in the can coffee drink, you know, at like Sprouts or whatever.
Yeah,
that's been my thing lately.
Yeah. I've been on an IV. I'm like getting tested for IBS. And so I've been on this elimination diet that's insane. And I'm like somebody who totally like gets happy from food. And my food is not making me super happy these days. And I keep snapping and being like, okay, we're going to Sprouts. I'm going to get a gluten-free pizza crust. I'm going to make myself this thing. And it is like not delicious.
I mean, as someone with IBS, I feel you. I have IBS. It is one of the many banes of my existence. But also during this time, I feel like food is one of the few joys that I'm able to manifest. So I'm sorry you're going through that.
Well, it's new for me because I just started doing it like 2 weeks ago or something, the whole like FODMAP thing. And I am just like realizing how much I self-medicate with delicious food. This sucks.
I'm 100% the exact same way. I have like a real food problem, and I have an even more aggressive like sugar problem. And I had to, when I first started dating my boyfriend like 3 years ago, around there, I was like just literally like nesting, and I was just happy, and then I was just like eating and like just living my best life. But he has a metabolism of like a man, so he gained no weight, what do you know? And I gained like 100 pounds. Well, probably not, but I gained a lot of weight, and I had to basically choose. I was like, you know what, I will kill myself. Like, also, my parents are like strict Persian people, so they'd be like, we're just waiting for you to get diabetes. And I'd be like, what the fuck, why would you can we swear?
Yes.
What the fuck, why would you say that to me? My mom like, just saying. And so I started doing the keto diet because I was like, I just have to train myself to not be so dependent on food for like all my joy. And it was the, oh man, I'm still kind of a monster because of I don't get to eat what I want.
Yeah. Mm.
But like
I am too. I'm literally the same.
Did anything like take the joy place of food? Like what replaced it?
Probably playing like long hours of Sims, just building
building mansions.
Yeah, one obsession for another kind of thing.
Like intricately designing like gardens for these homes. Like just everything. I would just spend all my time trying to like distract myself. But I've also like, you know, like it was like a literally like a mental change where now I don't crave it. Like I don't crave certain things anymore. And I only do like keto during the week. And then I'll, you know, I let myself live a little during the weekends, but like it helped me a lot to be like, it's not all about like pizza, which I love. Yeah. But like,
yeah,
I
will say like, I'm again, annoyingly health nutty. I try to not eat like processed food or like refined sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you do cut that out of your diet, and you appreciate when you have it like a little bit more. Like I think that like maybe Anna feels the same way, like on the weekends. Yeah. Like you kind of appreciate that food that you love even more, because it's like for me, like I know how it's gonna make me feel. It might not make me feel great, but two, like I'm aware that it's like a treat, you know, like you're treating yourself. And it's not like you're not cheating, you're treating. That's how I try to think of it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the thing about this year in particular is like, it's been all treats like since like March. It's been like, I was literally like, I had myself convinced. I was like, well, frozen pizza is a good thing to have because it's like, you can count the calories. I mean, just like insane. I mean, it's been weird to like, well, get sick like this year, like for the first time, like actually like be like, oh, there's something might be actually wrong.
Yeah.
And then to also be like, well, I can't do this forever. Like,
right.
I can't keep doing this. This is insane. And then like realizing all I've been eating is like treats. That's like,
yeah. But I mean, like, it's also okay to give yourself a pass sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we gave ourselves about 8 months of passes. We've been doing nothing but passing for sure.
Yeah. My parents are also the same way, like, except for my parents gained weight too. So like when I came home, like I gained weight when I moved to LA, like, cause I just stopped walking. And when I came home, my parents were like, my dad literally called me corn fed. He's like, wow, you're looking really corn fed.
Oh my God.
And I'm looking at him and I was like, look at your face, dude. You have massive jowls. Like, don't talk to me. You know, don't dish it out. That is,
well, objectively a terrible thing to say to your daughter.
I know.
I came back from a trip, and when I was like probably 20, and I was heavier back then than I am now. And I had gone to Sicily, and I didn't, this was like before smartphones or cell phones or anything. I guess I was even younger than that, maybe like 18, and I didn't have a debit card. So I basically didn't eat for 2 weeks and came back skinny. And when I got off the plane, that's when people could like meet you at the plane, you know, and my dad just like lit up for joy and like hugged me. It was like, grabbed my belly. It's like, you were supposed to go home all these years. Like the island did you right. You know?
I mean, that's the other thing. I feel like our family is so blunt when they see us, and it makes us kind of self-conscious about what we look like and trying to take care of ourselves. But I think one of the few joys right now is some good food. And like for my birthday, I like had like, I've always wanted to try this like fake vegan chicken place, like this fried vegan chicken. So I'll treat myself to like a nice birthday meal on my weird quarantine birthday. I'm having like a weird quarantine birthday. But I hope that you find the joy in food again, because there's nothing like it.
I still do. I mean, I am.
She's pushing this IBS. She's pushing this IBS diet hard. She's figuring out all types of spices that are not on the FODMAP, because the girl can cook. You can, you know, it's true. So she's already trying to have her fun for sure.
Yeah.
Once you figure out what works for you, it'll be easier. So just have the faith, because yeah. It'll be okay. But
no, I really appreciate that. I think that's, yeah. I need to remember that.
Yeah. That's maybe the first time that I've heard that sentence and agreed with it in a long time. Have some faith and everything will be okay.
When it comes to IBS. Yeah.
Yeah. Just you saying that to her. I'm like, okay, that's, yes. I can get on board.
I don't believe in God, but I do believe that eventually you won't be bloated that much.
That would be amazing.
Are you guys dreaming crazy these days? How are your dreams treating you?
I have been dreaming a lot about the TV shows I've been watching. I host a show called Deckheads about the TV show Below Deck on Bravo. And I have dreams where I'm working on the boats and I'm really stressed out because I have to watch so much. I actual like stress dreams of like, we gotta get shit done, oh the guests are coming on the boat, we gotta clean, we gotta make the bed. And I've been like, I'm not, because usually I must not, because I smoke a lot of weed, so I don't dream a lot, and a part of me is like, I haven't been smoking enough weed, because these dreams are too much. They're almost just absurd that I think I'm working on this boat because I'm watching a reality show about it.
It does my heart good to know that someone can have a job as cool as podcasting about a TV show, but still get nightmares about it. Cause I'll still get like waiting table nightmares. You know, like I'm still,
yeah, we've both been out of work since March and we both were waiting tables. And I was so like, oh my God, we're like not doing anything. We're on an appointment. It was like so great. And then like, I don't know, 4 months ago, it was just every night is a waiting nightmare. It's like my subconscious just,
yeah, our subconscious is wild.
That's the thing. It's still work. So even though I'm like, oh, I love this show, after a while, I was like, I gotta quit watching this show.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are you dreaming?
I've always had really weird, vivid dreams, and like very intense deja vu, but they have kicked it up a notch this past couple of months. I'm not sure why. I think it's maybe has to do with not being stimulated enough sometimes during the day, or then inversely being overstimulated if I'm just like at my screen 24/7.
Right.
My brain either goes into like overdrive or like, I don't know, but a lot of them are very stress inducing and it's a little frustrating. Like I just had a dream the other, like I woke up today thinking I had and sometimes they're very real. Like I thought I had FaceTimed my friend as I was sleeping, and I woke up and wanted to talk to them about the conversation, realized it didn't happen, and then felt completely out of my mind. So it's like, I don't know. It's my dreams are helping me lose sight of reality. So there's that.
Yeah. Every time I have a fun dream, I'm always like, ooh, let's go on this adventure. And then like, I was in a boat. I got trapped in the bottom of a boat last night. And then, so just like, even when I have good dreams now, they just get immediately negative and horrible. And I wake up, it's the worst. Yeah. It's been so intense for us.
Yeah. I do think it's like maybe not being stimulated enough. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little to do with it. I think, but if you're able to dream at all, that means you're getting a deep sleep. So there's that. So like, at least you're sleeping a little bit, because I have a hard time sleeping in general. So the nights that I sleep, even if I wake up stressed, I got some hours in. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think that's a
nightmare that just happened. But I actually keep a dream journal next to my bed if I remember anything.
Yeah.
And I would really recommend it, because looking back on things I've written like 6 months ago is fascinating. Like I don't remember a thing I wrote like in January, but when I read it back, I'm like, bears were clawing at my house and like, like it's just like, it kind of, I don't know, I recommend it if you're like introspective and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely found a note about being attacked by a dog, and it took me a long time to realize that that was a dream journal entry.
Yeah.
What's the best thing that's happened to you guys so far in 2020?
Yikes.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Like the rest of the podcast is just silence.
Yeah, right.
What else? What else? I honestly, I can tell you the best thing that's happened to my boyfriend is the Lakers are doing well.
Uh-huh. Very good.
That's something.
I was thinking like, well, good for him. At least he gets something nice this year.
Yeah.
I literally can't think of a single thing that's happened to me that's that exciting. Or
I mean, I am grateful that we both have like jobs we can do remotely. Like, I'm very grateful for that. I don't know if it's like the best thing that's ever happened. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
For it.
Do you work at iHeartRadio also?
Kind of. It's like I'm a contractor, like, uh-huh, technically. So it's it's one of the gigs I do to pay my rent, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But my other gig, like one of my other gigs, is also something I can do remotely. It's like editing and stuff like that. So it's like, and writing. So
yeah,
that's nice. But I mean, honestly, maybe one of the worst things that happened, like, one of the best things this time, one of the worst things. We both turned 30 this year. For whatever reason, I was freaking out about turning 30 because it's like this big number and I had all these reservations about like being alone when I was 30 and kind of being critical about like where I am in my life and not accomplishing what I wanted to do so far. So I decided to do like a shroom trip by myself. And I've never done, like, I've done a little bit, I've like microdosed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like my one experience with like, and like done a little bit of shrooms solo, but I never did like a full trip solo. So for me, I was like, and I love nature. So I was like, I'm going to do like a nature trip by myself solo for my 30th birthday.
That is so exciting
again,
and brave.
I'm my own partner kind of thing. Like that was that was like when I really solidified that sentiment. Like when I really like absorbed it, I was like, I'm my own partner. It is okay. You're fine. And it was a good trip for the second, like it was a good trip with this bad trip sandwich in the middle, is because like there was a moment that I was completely alone in the middle of nowhere and I was like, I am so high, no one will know if I ever die or like who's gonna find me. And so there's like an anxiety part of the trip, but at the end of the day I was coming off of the shroom trip and eating fake fried chicken and like just in a happy place, eating fries and fake fried chicken and all these things that I really love. So
That is a beautiful birthday, and you are brave. That's a warrior's journey.
I love
journey.
Nature, but I always think it's trying to kill me. I love being out there, but I think I have a lot of irrational, like get out sort of feelings when I'm in a remote place. But I feel like that's also like very cool to embrace.
Yeah.
It was terrifying in the moment, and I've never cried harder. I always cry when I do psychedelics, so it's not like a big surprise. I always just cry in general, but but there was something really calming after I turned 30 and like kind of accepted that, like, you know what, that was a badass thing to do. I'm a badass. Like, I'm proud of myself for like being myself. And there was a kind of like a self-love thing going on. So that maybe that was the best thing coupled with the worst thing, because there was a moment there that I was truly terrified out of my mind.
Yeah.
But it was good in the end.
The most delicious food I've ever eaten is coming down off mushrooms.
What was it?
I don't remember. It was like gummy bears. I was just eating like or the worms with that are sour or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Oh yeah. The food, food is good when you're coming off shrooms. Yeah.
My little brother and I are 8 years apart and he's turning 30 this year and I'm going to be turning 38. And like, we're just far enough, I think, that like, we can't, like for a long time, we just couldn't relate to each other. Cause every time I talked to him, he was like, you are lecturing me, which I was, but because I knew more than him. You know, like it's just this weird thing. It was like, I'm not going to pretend I don't know, because I know. But it's crazy. Like now that we're inching, like now that he's turning 30, we're like so similar. It's the funniest thing. And I keep just being like, oh man, like I was freaked out when I turned 30. Wait for the rest of it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have any plans for election night? Like, do you know where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing?
I don't.
I'm Is that like November 3rd?
Yeah.
I might be on a road trip. I'm driving up to Seattle in the next 2 weeks.
Very cool.
Back from Seattle, and if I am, I'll be sitting on my couch.
Are you gonna watch it?
You know, I felt in 2016, I watched it very diligently, and I felt like my soul was collapsing in on itself. I remember it so clearly, calling my dad, like, shrieking, freaking out, mm-hmm. being like, it can't happen, it can't happen, it can't happen. My dad being like, yeah, I think you might win.
That was Nick.
And he's like, call me tomorrow, we can discuss what to do about your health insurance in case he, like, gets rid of health insurance. And I don't know if I can go through that trauma again.
We flew to Chicago to be with my grandmother because we've watched every election with her since 2008 and to see the first woman president be elected. And I made a huge dinner and we like set up this giant table and watched the election results like roll in.
Oh, no.
Three of us just got so drunk. By like 2 a.m., my grandma's like buried in 4 ponchos. It was just like,
well, yeah, I didn't make it a thing. That's, I mean, I feel so sad for your grandma. but I went to a movie that night. I went to a double feature at the Beverly Cinema. And after the first movie ended, I found the results on my phone. I just assumed it was going to, I had no concept of him winning. It happened, I started to cry. I called my parents just like Anna did, and I couldn't believe it. And then my other friend went back to see the movie, the second movie, and I was like, I can't function right now. And I just went home.
Do you remember what the second movie was?
I think they were both election themed. I think one of them was like, there's like an old movie called like Election Day or something. And I don't remember what the second one was, but they were both like election themed because it was on election night.
Right. And it's supposed to be like a lighthearted romp through, yes. Like, isn't it funny how the president works?
Exactly. And I just could not function after that. But I don't know if I have the stomach to watch it at all this year. So maybe I'll be with my parents. My parents live like 2 hours away. So after I get like, I've been doing this thing where I get like a negative COVID test and I go down to visit them.
Oh, that's great. We've got a parent trip coming up and we're going to do the same thing. That's great.
Yeah, it's good. It's parent hugs. There's nothing like them. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Anna, what do you got going on in Seattle?
Just my best friend lives up there and she just bought a house. So we're just going to drive up. We're going to stop at my parents' place in Northern California. And then I'm going to see a friend in Eugene, Oregon. And then we're going to stay up in Oregon for a little while. Not Oregon, Seattle, Washington. Yeah.
It'll be beautiful this time of year.
That's where we're from. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be great up there.
First time last year in November, we did like a road trip all the way up to Seattle. One of my best friends is in Portland and I can't wait to go back. It's so beautiful. I want to move there so bad. I just want to be in a forest in Oregon more than anything.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful. Anna's making me want to road trip again up there. Maybe I'll visit my friend.
Yeah, it's like a crazy place to grow up. When we were growing up there, Amazon wasn't there. Like it was like really quiet and sleepy. Like downtown shut down at like 6 o'clock and like you couldn't get a bus out after 8 on like most days. It was like this super quiet, sleepy town. But I don't think I didn't realize how pretty it was until we left. I was like,
yeah, right.
It's
of course.
Wet and like whatever. It's like hella magical. There's like fair, like, you know, boats and islands.
Yeah. I didn't have time to see Crater Lake when I was up there, but it's one of those places that I've been dying to see for a long time and just like explore. I want to explore all the forests up there and all, I don't know.
Well, if you get deep enough in there, they're too wet to burn also, which is that's like the primary feature of those beautiful rainforests, you know?
Do you guys ever watch that show Alone? That it's like a really great show where they just drop survivalists in the middle of like nowhere and they survive, like, and they just tape themselves like doing it. and a bunch of the episodes are in like the Pacific Northwest, and it's the wildest thing. Like if you get outside the city, it's like all bears. It's like 50 bears, 50 bears for like 10 square like meters.
I don't think I've seen that. I should check that out. I like that kind of stuff because then I'm like, well, thank God I'm here on my couch.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I literally can't recommend it higher enough. Like these guys just, I mean, it's like men and women and they just go out there and they get 12 things and they have to build a shelter and like catch fish. And most of them are really bad at it, but then they're like alone and freaked out. So they're like, really it's like spiritual, you know, some people mm-hmm. are just talking about, you know, like just wild shit that you know they would never say in other circumstances, but it's very good.
All right, well, our bootleg Zoom here is coming to an end. I have the best time in Seattle, and we took a road trip recently, and if you haven't done one yet in the time of COVID, I'm really happy for you. It's a really exciting, cool thing to do at this point in history.
Out of town.
I need to do it too. I'm gonna jump on the train.
Yes.
You please for all of us keep taking those shrooms. I'm very
very... I'm not gonna stop anytime soon. I'm microdosing right now.
Okay. Thank you to Shireen and Anna for being on our podcast.
Ah, we love you guys. Make sure to check out their podcasts, Ethically Ambiguous and Deckheads. Both from the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. And I really hope, Anna, that you have a great time figuring out Animal Crossing.
Yes.
I am fascinated by that.
Good luck on your road trip, too. We want to thank Mart Lutwack of The Klein Party for the magical music that you hear on these bonus Friday episodes. And you can find this episode and all of our bonus material on YouTube also. We'll go ahead and put that link in the show notes.
Thank you, Ryan and Ryan. We love you. Thanks for producing this podcast. Y'all stay safe out there. Remember, we are all in this together.
And when we say it, we mean it. Okay, love you. Bye.
Oh, hello, you.
What's up, hoes?
I'm Mary Kay McBrayer.
I'm Mary Amelia Byer.
I'm Rachel Estridge.
And we like scary movies.
Let's be more specific. We like analyzing scary movies.
Okay, but let's be a little bit more specific. We like making fun of scary movies.
Let's be even more specific. We have to make fun of scary movies so that we can sleep at night.
We host a horror comedy podcast called Everything Trying to Kill You that rips all your fave horror movies a new one.
And bonus, we'll tell you jokes from the perspectives of
feminist ethnic minorities
and queer women, which might be something you haven't considered before.
Sure looks like Hollywood hasn't.
So check out Everything Trying to Kill You.
New episodes every other Friday on Campfire Media.
Campfire.